quiet on the set. Can we please have quiet on the set?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Script to Screen. On this one is a kind of a special one. It's just one that I had a lot of fun doing my research on, and that is for the 2005 hit film Batman Begins. And I ended up watching the entire Dark Knight trilogy throughout this week doing my research because I wanted to read these scripts for all three films, and I did. And I'll get to my notes on Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises later in this one. But this one focusing on Batman Begins, and I have quite a few notes. Let's see right here. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see my notes right here. Good couple of pages of notes, 6 pages worth actually. Let me get right to it because there are quite a lot of differences in the script that I read compared to the film. And let me just get right to it. Like, one of the things I noticed right off the bat says in the script, Rachel, instead of being Rachel Dawes like she is in the film, she's Rachel Dodson. So, which is just not crazy and dramatic of a difference, but just, I don't know, as I kept reading the script and it kept saying Miss Dodson, all I could think of was from Jurassic Park, you know, Dodson, we got Dodson here. And then the other one is the judge, instead of being called Judge Faden, he's Judge Felon or Felan. I don't know how it's pronounced. It's because it's in the script, it's P-H-E-L-A-N, so I'm guessing it's Felon or Felan, which now that I think about it, it's kind of a play on the word felon. So that's kind of interesting if you remember that the judge is kind of corrupt in this film. But, you know, just going right into what some of the differences are here. Like, one of the differences, which you will notice right away from reading the script, there's no finders keepers. Little thing in the opening flashback in the film. Or actually, we see it in the film, but rather it's not in the script. See, I'm going to be jumbling all of my words right here. Because, you know, as I said in my previous episode, I am learning how to be a screenwriter, taking a few courses, looking at some lectures and videos. And part of the research is to read scripts and take notes. And that's what I'm doing here. And the other one is that there's a different dialogue between Ducard, who we find out is Ra's al Ghul later in the film, and Bruce during their initial meeting in the cell. And I will have the link to the script that I'm going to put that in the description for you guys to read if you want to. Because I'm only just going through like bullet point notes that I made to just kind of, I guess, pique the interest of anyone who would like to read the actual script. And yeah, more of my notes here that in the flashback when, you know, we get the line, why do we fall? It's in the film, it's said by his father, Thomas Wayne, but in the script, it's Alfred who says the why do we fall line, which is just, I mean, we get that later in the film, you know, when Bruce is trying to, when I guess Alfred is trying to motivate Bruce to get off his ass and go save Gotham. But it's just kind of interesting that Alfred is the one that says it in the script, which, I mean, I guess is meant to kind of, you know, have significance that way, but having it be something that his father said to him instead in the film, I feel has more impact, you know, when Alfred says it later on in the movie. And then we also get a slightly different dialogue between Bruce and Ducard when Bruce arrives at the monastery. It's more or less the same, nothing too significant, but just certain lines that are altered from how it is actually in the film, which there is quite a lot of that throughout the script. There's certain pieces of dialogue that are the same, just slightly different, slightly altered, and additional dialogue that is absent from the film. And like, more we get from the young Bruce flashbacks are some of it sequenced differently in the script. And we get additional dialogue during the training montage in the script that's not in the film. And also one of the things that's different from that is the whole training and initiation of Bruce going into the League of Shadows. The guy the prisoner that's supposed to be executed is completely gone from the story. And different dialogue slightly between Alfred and Bruce in the flashback when he's going to the hearing for Joe Chill, when he's getting his early parole because he's cooperating with the Gotham City DA. If you've seen the film, you already know. And an alternate flashback to young Bruce on his father's shoulders, you know, when he comes back to the house for the hearing, and he's in the master bedroom, and he looks at the stethoscope that was his father. We see him using the stethoscope on his father, Thomas Wayne, in the flashback in the script, as he looks at a picture of him sitting on his father's shoulders, and he gets to the flashback of that. And then lines from Chill at the hearing that are a little different in the script compared to the movie. Again, nothing too significant. And then there's also additional and alternate dialogue between Bruce and Rachel before the hearing and in the car after the hearing. Which, you know, because like in the movie, they're in the little cupboard area with the condensed milk. But in the script, I believe, is that they're in the greenhouse instead. And then when they're in the car driving through the Narrows, it's a little different there too. And then the alternate scene of Bruce meeting Falcone outside of the club in the script, and in the film he meets him inside the club / restaurant that is owned by Falcone. And let's see, yeah, scene with Bruce and Descartes climbing the stone wall is in the script. Obviously that's not in the movie, which I wonder if it makes me wonder if they actually filmed that and they just decided not to use it. And we also get additional scenes of Bruce's criminal activity when he flees Gotham. There's, you know, a couple of moments. I don't remember all of them, but they still have the part, you know, when he's stopped by the police and they have the Wayne Industries boxes that are all over the place. Then an alternate dialogue during the League of Shadows initiation between Bruce, Ducard, and the, you know, decoy Ra's al Ghul in the script. And yeah, and even there right here, a prisoner to be executed featured in the film, absent from the script. Then an additional scene of Bruce actually calling Alfred after he leaves the monastery after that big fight. And then he's calling from a bar in Bhutan, I think that's how it's pronounced. I don't know. Yeah, it's in the script but not in the film, obviously. And then when they're on the airplane flying back to Gotham, it's alternate dialogue featured in the script. A lot, and it wasn't bad dialogue, but I prefer what's in the film, honestly. And then we also get a scene of Mr. Earl being interviewed on TV that's in the script and not in the film. Where in that one, that's where he is declaring, you know, Bruce Wayne dead on behalf of Wayne and Enterprises. And we also get a scene here of Bruce and Alfred arriving at Wayne Plaza that's not in the film. And we get some alternate dialogue between Bruce and Earl when they meet at Wayne Tower. Let's see, alternate / additional dialogue between Rachel and Finch in the script, you know, after, because that's another thing that's actually not in the script. When we meet the trial hearing with Victor Zsasz, that's not in the script at all. That's where she has the confrontation with Crane and then has the conversation with Finch, and he's, you know, trying to protect her, look out for her. That the part with Crane and Zsasz, that's not in the script at all. It just cuts to her and her boss Finch talking about, you know, Falcone and all that stuff. And then we also get a scene of Bruce and Alfred that they're actually in the Rolls Royce tracking Rachel, and that's not in the film at all, obviously. Instead, the way we get it in the film is we see Bruce at the payphone, you know, with a hood over himself to, you know, be incognito. Let's see, scene of Mr. Earl with the board members discussing Bruce's future with the company is absent from the film. Except one of the things I believe is that they talk about his majority shares, and then something about his 30th birthday. I don't remember the exact details of it. Because I was just watching Dark Knight Rises a couple hours ago, so that's where my mind is at right now. And yeah, additional dialogue between Bruce and Earl about the company going public, and whereas in the movie, it's when he comes back and he's at Wayne Enterprises interrupting the board meeting, that's when they have the discussion about going public, and here it's, you know, happens later on after they've already met up. And see a scene outside of Falcone's club with the judge and a woman leaving in a limo with Bruce following them with a camera, which that's where we actually do get those pictures later on when Bruce rescues Rachel at the train station. And additional dialogue between Bruce and Fox and the inside the Tumbler that's not in the film. We also get some more dialogue between Bruce and Alfred in the cave while they're designing his gear and the weapons that's not in the film. And it's just kind of funny, like a lot of the stuff that's in the, again, in the script that is in the movie, but it's just slightly altered, and some of it that's sequenced differently than, you know, like if it happens here in the script, it actually happens at a different point in the movie, which, I mean, it's like that in all three of the scripts for Batman Begins and Dark Knight Rises, but it's a lot more evident in the Batman Begins script how different it is from the film. And then we also get a scene with the judge and Falcone that's actually at the club in Falcone's office that's not in the film at all. And then we also get when they're at the docks, you know, with the, talking about the drugs and the shipments, it's with a Crane, Flass, and Falcone inside Falcone's office discussing the shipment. And then we also get Bruce attacking the judge in his limo. That's obviously not in the film. Sorry, let me keep waving my notebook in front of the camera if you're watching this on YouTube, which most of you tend to, which I appreciate that very much, because, you know, getting my numbers up, hoping I can make a decent living from some of these videos of it down the line. And who knows, you know, if this screenwriting kick does well for me, might be able to do a lot more with this channel. Right, a scene of Batman attacking the judge, and the attempted assault on Rachel in the train station, completely absent from the script. Instead, it's a Batman that's actually at Rachel's apartment, handing her the evidence of photos of the judge and everything else to, you know, leverage to get things moving. And let's see, and then when they're at the hotel, when Bruce arrives and you have the line, you know, oh, cool, nice car, you should see my other one. That's not in the script at all. And then slightly different dialogue with Bruce and Rachel when they, you know, meet each other at the hotel. And, let me see. Oh, yeah, and lying about the awarding the Batman a medal and a straitjacket to pin it on. That's not in there either. The dialogue between Gordon and Flats outside his home is absent from the film, because in the film version, he's taking out the trash and Batman is right there, you know, talking about the storm is coming. And this one, it's Flats meets up with him, you know, pretending to be drunk apparently, and he's kind of threatening him, you know, with, you know, to keep quiet and not, you know, not speak out on what he knows. And rather than Finch being the one that goes to the investigating the shipping containers that has the Wayne Industries a microwave emitter, it's a customs agent instead in the script. And then slightly different dialogue between Batman and Flass, you know, the swear to me scene in the movie, slightly different in the script. I very much prefer the way they present it in the film. I hope that me talk basically just looking over my notes like this is not boring at all. I'm trying to be as informative as I possibly can. It's just, again, you know, I would rather that you guys actually read the script yourselves to get a better sense of it. I'm just going over the bullet points to hopefully entice you to want to read the script and learn more. Because, again, just, you know, going off my script for a little bit, the whole filmmaking process, that as I'm learning more about it, going from the staging of the script and then to what I actually get in the film, it's a very fascinating process. It really is. And as I'm learning more about it, I'm having a better understanding of, you know, like, maybe certain things that are maybe ad-libbed by cast members, or certain things that might have, you know, just been thought up, you know, by the crew, you know, on the day of shooting, you know, that they decided not to have it in the script, or stuff maybe, you know, like instances of studio meddling, which we've seen a lot of that from Warner Brothers especially, just kind of makes me wonder, like, future scripts that I'm going to be reading for this, I'm anticipating how many significant differences there are going to be with some of these. Because, I mean, the Addams Family one that I did last week, there were quite some significant differences between the film and the script. And I also did some notes on the first Ghostbusters movie. Not sure if I'm going to do a video for that one. I might do it maybe sometime next week or later down the line if I'm, you know, feeling up to it. There were not a lot of significant differences, but there were noticeable differences between the script and the film. And for that one, I think a lot of it, because of Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray come from SNL, I feel like a lot of the stuff might have been ad-libbed, since, you know, they're good with improv. But yeah, going back to Batman Begins. And then when Crane gets Batman with the toxin inside, when he's there at the Narrows trying to investigate the drugs, in the script, it's described that Batman hallucinates a monster with flaming eyes and elongated limbs, whereas in the movie, it's Bat. Obviously. And then we see after, you know, now in the film, when Alfred rescues Bruce and they're at home in his bed, and, you know, Mr. Fox comes in there and, you know, letting him know that he was able to make an antidote for him. In the script, Fox meets with Bruce at Applied Sciences instead of Wayne Manor to discuss the antidote for the toxin and ask about the microwave emitter there instead of how in the movie it's Mr. Earl that asks him about it. Let me look here. Yeah, and meeting with Rachel and Gordon at the DA's office is absent from the film, and we also get in that one Bruce actually visits her at the office to invite her to his birthday party happening later that night. Whereas in the movie, she shows up at Wayne Manor with the birthday gift from the Finder's Keepers flashback instead of, you know, as it is, as I just described it in the script. Let's see, additional dialogue between Batman and Rachel in the Batcave that's absent from the film, which is, you know, just after the sequence at Arkham Asylum, after, you know, Batman rescues her and saves her from losing her mind from Crane's toxin. And then we also get a alternate dialogue in the script from after Bruce comes back out of the cave, how in the film Alfred is kind of like almost reprimanding him like a parental figure about what happened with the chase by the police. In the script, he's more of, you know, assertive, I'm on your side kind of thing, which I don't know. I very much prefer, again, this is another instance where I prefer how it was in the film as opposed to the script, because in the script it's just like, it's like, yeah, you did all this stuff just now, it's on the news, it's on TV, and it's like, oh, yes, sir. There we go, sir. Kind of thing. Whereas in the film, it's more of like oh, the only, like the line, the only one that stopped me from calling the men in white coats is that you weren't, it wasn't about the thrill seeking. Then what do you call that? Damn good television. Which is one of my favorite lines in the entire Dark Knight trilogy. Alternate dialogue from Gordon about the water supply in the script. Nothing too significant and dramatic, really. And we get a moment with Alfred and Bruce that's kind of funny, and this one kind of made me giggle reading in the script, like as Bruce is, you know, fixing up his tuxedo, getting ready for the party. In the script, Bruce has the makeup around his eyes still, and Alfred motions to him to wipe that clean, which is just funny because it made me realize how, you know, in The Batman, Matt Reeves of The Batman, we get to see Bruce with the makeup around his eyes after he takes the cowl off. This would have been the first, and that was the first time we saw it in any of the Batman films, you know, ever. And this, if they'd done that in how they wrote it in the script for Batman Begins, that would have been the first time we saw Bruce Wayne with the raccoon eyes with outside of the suit. Which is just, yeah, it's just funny how it took Matt Reeves, you know, making the Batman to finally have a moment where Bruce still has the makeup around his eyes when he takes the cowl off, because always, I mean, because in Batman vs. Superman, when Bruce, after he has his first interaction with Superman, he comes up the stairs, takes off the cowl, and you have that little cut, you know, break away from the stairs, where, you know, he's without the cowl, and it's Ben Affleck, he doesn't have the makeup on his eyes. That's a good, believable cut, and I'm cool with that. But then you got Batman Returns, when he rips off the mask at the end of the movie, and where, at first, he has the makeup on his eyes, but then just as he's about to do it, the makeup is gone. And it looks so stupid. And Dave the Film Junkie, he's talked about this a lot, especially, that he's saying that if they were going to do that, the best way to do it is have him start to pull it off, cut, and then cut back to him ripping it off completely so he doesn't have the raccoon eyes on him. But, you know, yeah. Took Matt Reeves to finally be the one to say, no, we're going to keep the makeup around the eyes. Which, I mean, really, it's part of him. Why are we gonna pretend that it's not? No. So thank you, Matt Reeves, for that one. Where was I? Okay. Oh yeah, there we go. Yeah, alternate dialogue between Bruce and Alfred upon returning for the party. It's in the script, which, yeah, I already went over that one. And then, yeah, alternate dialogue between Bruce and Fox about the microwave emitter. It's in the script. And that conversation with Bruce, Fox, and Earl is absent from the film. And this one features the "Didn't you get the memo?" Dialogue that's in the film. When Earl is asking for all files, backup drives, and details on the microwave emitter on his desk right away, and that he's merging his Applied Sciences with Archives, and then he's firing Mr. Fox. Yeah, that one is, that all happens here at the party instead. And then we see Gordon scene with Gordon and a cop finding the microwave emitter in the script. That's not in the film at all. which I'm glad it's not, because it's better that it was hidden and nobody knew where it was. And see, scene with the League members hijacking the train, it's in the script. It's not in the film, you know, and this is, you know, when they're hijacking the train as Ra's al Ghul and all of them are getting things ready. And then, and speaking of Ra's, there is alternate dialogue in the script between Bruce and Ra's at Wayne Manor during the party, and also includes an alternate fight between them that happens in the, as opposed to how it is in the film, where it's just a quick little scuffle and then Bruce is knocked out. And the script, they have a full-on sword fight, you know, with, like, you know, Pip Perry and all that, all of, you know, intricate things, skills and motions of a sword fight that I am not knowledgeable of at all. But yeah, in the script they have a full-on sword fight in Wayne Manor as the rest of the League of Shadows members are trying to burn down the whole thing, which that one I kind of wish was in the movie, because it would have been interesting just to see that. Let me look through here. Oh yeah, an alternate dialogue between Rachel and Gordon with the antidote is in this one. And the prison break from Arkham is different in the script. Prisoners set free by Crane instead of by the League of Shadows, as they are in the movie. And then dialogue about Ra's plan to use the microwave emitters in the script is with Rachel. In the film, it's with Gordon. You know, when Batman and Gordon have that the conversation about what Ra's al Ghul's plan is to, you know, poison Gotham with the microwave emitter stuff. In the script version, it's the conversation is with Rachel. And then the alternate train fight in the script with a Batman dodging vehicles and gunfire while he's hanging from the train. And then Gordon is driving a sedan, trying to help, you know, Batman along the way in the script instead of the Batmobile, like in the film, you know, can he drive stick? And he gets the bat tank, you know, the tumbler, all the way down to right before they reach the main hub of Wayne Tower on the where the, you know, shit would just hit the fan with that one. Then yes, after all the destruction, you see a scene with Fox, Earl, and Bruce at Wayne Plaza. Amongst the destruction from the train incident, it's absent from the film, but it does feature a lot of the similar dialogue from the board meeting, where Mr. Earl finds out that he's fired and Fox took his job, as we saw at the end of the movie. And get some more alternate dialogue between Bruce and Rachel they're navigating through the destroyed Wayne Manor, as in the script, and then additional dialogue between Batman and Gordon on top of GCPD that's not in the film, but it's still more or less the same conversation where he presents him the evidence card of the Joker card. And yeah, that's all of my notes of what's different from the script, and I have my little personal notes right there that I added at the end of it. And just, you know, essentially, like I've kind of reiterated throughout the rest of this whole thing, yeah, many more significant differences in the Batman Begins script than in the scripts for The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises. And as I'm looking through my notes here, and what that says to me is that it shows how much more creative power and control Nolan was given for the rest of the Dark Knight trilogy after the success of Batman Begins. And with that, it also shows me that with how that Dark Knight and then Dark Knight Rises scripts, I am planning on reading more Christopher Nolan scripts just to see, you know, how they are with that. That it shows me how much more consistent of a director and storyteller Christopher Nolan has become since Batman Begins, because all of his movies, with the exception of Insomnia, Nolan has written the script for, and I have to read the scripts for Memento and some of the other ones. Yeah, Memento, Prestige, Inception, Interstellar, Dunkirk, and Tenet, which I still have not seen Dunkirk. A Tenet, I will eventually. Which I think Tenet's almost is going to be taken off of HBO Max soon, so I got to get on my ass on that one. Showing how much more consistent he is with the scripts, at least for Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises, and the film, where they are just, with the exception of like little minor details of dialogue change and certain scenes happening in different sequences, from start to finish, Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises scripts are basically the films that we actually got. which, you know, just shows, you know, how much of a as a director and storyteller that Christopher Nolan has grown and become since Batman Begins. And also kind of says to me that all the films that we have seen of Christopher Nolan, because he does not do deleted scenes or anything like that, and there's never been a campaign of release the Nolan cut or anything like that. It kind of says to me, at least, every film we've seen of Christopher Nolan that has been released in theaters, that is his director's cut, basically. You're not going to get an extended director's cut of a Christopher Nolan movie, because what we see in the films, that is his director's cut. That is his preferred vision of these stories. And that's why Christopher Nolan is one of the best directors in the world right now. And you know what? Hey, it's Christopher Nolan. Really not much else I can say. He's, as far as to me at least, he's never made a bad movie. I will say, though, Interstellar was kind of a chore to get through, only because of its kind of a slow-paced story. Not that it's a bad movie, just it's a slow build. And I love slow-build films, but Interstellar, at least to me, was too slow of a build, you know? You know, slow burn kind of films. I normally love those, but yeah. And also my last little note that I have on here, the dialogue and action featured in the film of The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises, and, well, I'm sorry, rather, Batman Begins. Sorry, again. My mind is all jumbled up with The Dark Knight trilogy, because I've watched all three films in the last couple of days. But for Batman Begins, what we got in the film, very much prefer than what we got in the script, because in the script some of it is a little like, I don't know, I'm glad they didn't go with that one. But hey, I'm gonna leave it up to you to decide if you prefer the what's in the script as opposed to the movie. I'm gonna leave the link to the script in the description to this episode. Yeah, thank you all so much for checking this one out. I'm actually having a lot of fun doing these. Like I said, I might do the one for Ghostbusters soon, which, I mean, again, it's not that many notes, because my notes for Adam's Family and then Batman Begins, I had 6 pages worth of notes. For Ghostbusters, I have like 3.5 pages worth of notes. So, again, yeah, not a lot of significant differences from the script to the film. Which, you know, kind of also tells me, like, at least with, especially with Adam's Family, how much different the script was to the movie. Maybe how much involvement the studio might have had in the filmmaking process for that one. Which, again, a lot of studios, they, you know, because it is their money in these projects, so they do have say, of course. But sometimes they might have a little too much say, and that's how we end up with films, you know, like the 2017 Justice League. And, you know, some of the later X-Men films that we got from Fox, you know, like Apocalypse, Dark Phoenix. Although Dark Phoenix, I don't mind as much as Apocalypse. And... you know, Spider-Man 3 and The Amazing Spider-Man 2, the way the studios got a little too hands-on with those. But, you know, topic for another time. But yeah, thank you all so much for watching, for listening, subscribing. And if you're not subscribed, please do so. I have the link, my link tree in the description of this, where it should get you the links to my YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, Breaker, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, a whole bunch of stuff. I don't even remember all of them, honestly. But yeah, check the link tree link for that. My store, you know, if you want to get a nice little bit of merchandise from there. I'm trying to design some good stuff that I can put on there. Maybe something that goes along with my little script to screen show that I have now. Some other stuff that I want to do. Maybe get a couple of mental health, you know, pieces of merchandise on there. Although with that, I might want to stick with Ink to the People, so that the money raised for that goes directly to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. But yeah, check those links out if you will, and check out past episodes and shows that I have from the Men in Tights podcast. You know, my movie reviews, video game reviews, which I'm going to try to get my Spider-Man Miles Morales review up sometime as soon as I get my off my ass to do it. I mean, it's right there in the background. If you're watching this on YouTube, it's right there next to Grogu, two Spider-Man Funko Pops. And yeah, that's gonna be my next video game review. And I might also do the review for the Last of Us Part 1 remake when that comes out. You know, might not be as detailed as my almost 1.5 hour review of the first Last of Us game that I did in 2020, you know, the week before Part 2 came out. Or was it the week of Part 2 coming out? I don't know. It was around that same time. Yeah, it might not be as much detail as that, but I might do it just for, you know, just for the fun of it. But yeah. Again, thank you all so much for watching, for listening, for subscribing. I love and appreciate every single one of you who do, and I hope you all are doing well, staying safe, taking care of yourselves and your loved ones, staying healthy, happy, and wonderful. Yeah, this has been Script to Screen. I'm going to get that right one of these days, and I will see all of you on the next one.